This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your work day. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Now, Macca, what are we doing next? This is our final guest.
This is our final
one.
We're ringing Anna Brown. We don't know which one it is. but we're ringing Anna Brown from Equality Australia. We want to have a discussion around what's going on with the religious discrimination bill. A further draft has been released. You know, the government wants to legislate on this. And I'm interested to hear, you know, from Anna what the views of Equality Australia are, what she sees as the dangers in this bill. There's been a lot of discussion.
But and what our community thinks as well.
And what they think and what we can do. Good morning, Anna. How are you? You're not Tony Walker, are you? Sorry, it's an in-joke. How are you, Anna?
I'm well. How are you too?
Pretty good.
Very well, thank you. Great to have you on the airwaves again this morning.
Yeah, as always.
So, Anna, talk to us. Let us know what's happening with this a religious discrimination bill version 2. So government's come off and given us a new version. Is it better or is it worse?
I'm afraid to say it's worse. I mean, there was some irony that it was released on Human Rights Day.
Yeah.
And what we got was a bill that there was some improvements in the health provision. So we'd been obviously very concerned that the provisions around health and conscientious objection would really undermine access to healthcare. Now, they've been narrowed somewhat, but they're still problematic and they still contemplate adverse outcomes for patients and prioritise negative religious views over the needs of patients. So, really, the improvements were a recognition that it already went far too... the impact was far too broad. Then overall, some already bad aspects of the bill were really made worse. So the provision around statements of belief, so the provision that gives people that make religious statements protection from discrimination, there's been some changes to that clause. The words have been, people might recall that what this does is, it's very unusual, we haven't seen anything like it in Australian law. It attempts to immunise religious statements from discrimination complaints. So essentially we're immunising bigotry here, religious bigotry. And there's been some changes so that the words seriously intimidate have been included in the list of features that aren't protected. But what that says to us is that it's now clear that the government means for intimidating statements to be protected and immunised from discrimination.
So, can you give us an example of what that might look like?
Well, we've been thinking of different sorts of examples, and I don't know if anyone's seen the video that we put out with Ian Thorpe and Lauren Jackson, some famous, much-loved Australians and everyday people talking about the sorts of scenarios that could become a reality. Mm. But, for instance, I'll actually use a real-life example from the US. This kids in a classroom and the teacher asked them all, what do you feel grateful for this year? And one of the young boys said, I feel grateful that my two dads are adopting me. And the teacher just went on said, that's how ridiculous. You can't feel grateful. You shouldn't feel grateful for that. That's against God. And started saying that, the father's relationship would be sinful, obviously her religious views. Now, Those statements may not have been malicious, so they may not have been vilifying, but they were deeply unpleasant and unsettling and disturbing, and I'd say they would have a really quite profound impact on that young child and the other children in the classroom. So those are the sorts of statements that we could see protected under this legislation.
So a statement even like saying, that could be protected. Sorry.
Even saying, you know, you have HIV, your HIV is a punishment from God by a nurse, or you know, women should submit to their husbands, to do otherwise is against, you know, whatever religious text you're talking about. So pretty derogatory, offensive views that are now protected from discrimination complaints.
So we've gone backwards.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, this is what is so disturbing, is that all of these negative features of the bill, really, the overall impact creates a real chilling effect in workplaces, in schools, places where if people say statements that would, you know, not be considered in keeping with Australian attitudes in 2019, those are the sorts of statements that are protected. And I think even if there might be some statements that do cross the line, I mean, I think the overall impact will be that managers and people that are in positions of responsibility for setting culture and managing diverse workforces are going to feel like their hands are tied when people of faith in their workforce
and
the business say things.
There's a bit of a view that perhaps some of these, this bill has been drafted by, you know, middle-aged, white, Christian-based men. Will this bill cover all religions, or is it just targeting Christianity?
Yeah, it absolutely covers all religions. And I should say it covers statements and protects people that don't have faith to the extent that they are making a statement about not having that faith. Does that make sense?
No. Can you explain that?
Well, I mean, if you look at any anti-discrimination law that operates in an orthodox way, and some of this bill does operate in an orthodox way, and those are the bits that say you shouldn't lose your job or be turned away just because of your faith, or in this case, just because you don't have a faith.
Ah, okay.
So, for instance, if you walk into a shop with a hijab and someone refuses you service because you're wearing a hijab, that would be illegal under this bill, and I think we'd all agree that that is a just and fair outcome. So those aspects of the bill are not problematic, but what difficulty is that there's about three or four provisions which are very extreme, and they go too far, and they create new double standards that set one group of Australians apart from another. And that double standard is now a theme throughout the legislation. And there's some other little, you know, small changes which I actually think are really disturbing, such as corporations being able to bring a complaint, and also corporations associated with someone with a religious belief being able to bring a complaint. Now, these are not usual ways of approaching anti-discrimination law. So I would, if the Attorney General had stuck to his promise and legislated a conventional bill, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be needing to have this, you know, again, a really divisive public debate about legislation that really does pose a threat, not just to LGBTI people, but to women, to people with disability, to minority faiths, because there's going to be, there's going to be situations in workplaces where people, and usually it's people of minority faiths, such as Sikhs and Muslim people and Jewish people, that are on the receiving end of poor treatment in, you know, because they're more of a minority religion. But it's just going to create so much legal uncertainty and so much disadvantage for some already disadvantaged groups.
Now, we're nearly out of time, but Mac has got a quick question.
I want to ask, Anna, how is this law, how do you perceive potentially that this law is going to deal when there's a clash of faiths? Now, you sort of touched on it there in terms of, you know, if you were, you know, a different religion to what the majority of the people in a workplace were. So let's just say the majority are Pentecostal Christians, and you're a Muslim, or you're a Buddhist, or you're Jewish, or you're Islamic, and where there's a clash of beliefs. How's the law going to deal with that? How's the law going to deal with the religious freedom issue there?
Yeah, exactly. So, in that scenario, both the Christian and the Muslim people would be able to say discriminatory things that, you know, under this Section 42, statements of belief protection. So they would be able to make negative statements about the other, if that makes sense, and not be subjected to a discrimination complaint. But on top of that, this bill gives really broad exemptions for religious institutions. And I think the impact, the rights it gives institutions and corporations is, you know, that really does worry me, because human rights really are supposed to belong to individuals, and discrimination laws protect individuals. They don't protect companies. Like, you know,
it's a basic tenet of law. You can take an action against a corporation, but it's the office holders. The corporation might be fine, but it's the office holders that if there is a jail penalty or another penalty that it happens to. So it's a bit of a new area of law that Christian Porter is going into.
Yeah, absolutely. But in the religion, and just to finish the example, so this gives exemptions to religious institutions, and whether it's a hospital or a school, to just be able to discriminate against people not of their faith, if that makes sense. So employ people of their faith to run their organisations. And, you know, I think views vary on where the line should be drawn then, but this is, you know, really gives a very broad exemption. And what worries me is the way that they've defined the way they reference religion and religious belief.
Yeah.
Is different now. You don't have to demonstrate this doctrine. It's essentially, you can have a religion of two people, because the genuineness of the religious belief is defined now by reference to people of that faith.
There we go, Tass, you and I.
Yeah.
It'll be called SatMag. So we're going to be...
That's our religion.
All we need is DGS status and we'll be right.
So we're calling it the It Takes Two clause, because really under this bill you and Tass could decide what
form our own religion. We might have to go off and do that, Anna, because we're actually out of time now, unfortunately. This is clearly going to be a topic that we'll be talking a lot more about next year. Just before we do sign off, you mentioned a video. Where can our listeners find some of that resource material?
Yeah, if you go onto our website or our Facebook page, we've got a lot of resources, information about the bill, but also that video and other ways of getting involved with the campaign.
So that's Equality Australia website.
Yeah.
Yes, equalityaustralia.org.au.
Thank you very much, Anna, for your time.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.